Please open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10. 10th chapter of John in your Schofield Bible, page 1129. We'll be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter, and the 10th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and in your Schofield Bible, page 1129. Well, let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of this passage, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. And Father, none of us probably realize the full extent of the importance of this hour, but surely we should realize to the point that we need to give attention, our full attention, to your word whenever it's preached. And tonight we have needs that we do not even know that we have. And some of these needs might crop up somewhere down the road, somewhere in our near future. In any case, we need what the preacher has for us tonight from thee, from thy word. We pray that you'd give us carefulness, prayerfulness, as we hear the message of God, as we hear the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I have lived a long life. I have lived a rich life. If I had my life to live over, I think I would choose the same philosophies by which to live that I've lived. I would certainly choose the same manner of life that I've tried to live. And tonight I'm going to speak to you not a typical Sunday night sermon, but I'm going to speak to you tonight on how to live the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Now, an abundance of something or some things, what he's saying here, I came to give you several forms of life. Abundance of lives, if you please. That's what it means. And tonight, I hope you'll listen to me. Look, there are a few things that I can help you with. Now, there are many areas that I'm not knowledgeable. For example, when I went in the paratroopers in World War II, I took the IQ test, and my IQ of 500 people, my IQ was number one. They said it was 141, and that was the highest of all of the men who took the IQ, 500 men. Then they gave us the mechanical aptitude test. I was 500 on the mechanical aptitude test. I wish you could see Mrs. Howes and I assembling things together at home. It is a joke. We were assembling just the other day a little CD player thing at home. And we don't believe in reading directions. We don't believe in that. We just look for a hole that a certain plug would fit in, that's all. The numbers of things about which I'm not knowledgeable, but I'm a happy person. I've been a happy person. I know something about how to live a rich life. And tonight, without being too bombastic, unless you don't listen well, I want to relay to you the formula for ending or coming to your senior years as I have with the same kind of life that I have enjoyed living for these years. I want to speak tonight on how to live the abundant life. Our Heavenly Father, I sure would like to be a help to these people whom I have served for these almost four decades now, and I've tried to help them. And tonight, may I help them just a tad more. But I cannot do it unless they listen, so help them to listen carefully, and I promise to do my best to be articulate in expressing what I want to say and what you want me to say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God has planned for each of us an abundant life. I do not believe that 10% of the people in this room tonight have taken advantage of that abundant life. God does not say you get saved, you'll have this abundant life. God says you get saved and this abundant life will be available to you. You have to apply it yourself. You have to allocate it to yourself. But to every Christian in the world, the abundant life I'm going to talk about tonight is available for you. Now, by way of review, just reviewing an old sermon and then a little bit of another just for a few seconds or minutes, and then coming to my message for tonight. There are four forms of life, as I've told you so many times. By the way, the little outline I'm going to give you right now, is the sermon of mine that Brother Sigstad said that his people love to see. They get my videos, and he plays my videos in Nigeria, Africa, to his people. And this little outline I'm going to give you, I preached it as an entire sermon, and it's the one they like the best. There are four forms of life: plant life, animal life, human life, and spiritual life. Don't miss this now. There are four forms of life. Four statements about this. Number one, you can improve a potato, but you cannot make it a horse. You might want to write that down. That's one of the most profound statements you'll ever hear in your life, and I really think I should have had a lot more amens than I had. So I'll make the statement again. You can improve a potato, but you can't make it a horse. I'm glad that you're finally, I told you that you're going to learn something about life tonight. You may make the potato bigger. You may make it more palatable or tastier, but you cannot make a plant into an animal. Likewise, you can improve a horse all you want to, but you can't make it a new human. Now, you can go downwards and make a human into a horse, or a monkey or an ape, but you cannot make, I don't care how much you improve an animal, you can't make that animal human. You've got to be born a plant, you've got to be born an animal, and you've got to be born a human. And just as there are four forms of life, plant, animal, human, and spiritual life, and you cannot make a plant by all of the George Washington Carver and other experiments in this field. You can improve a plant, but you cannot make it an animal. You can improve an animal, but you can't make it human. Now, if you can't transfer by improving something, making a plant life to an animal life or an animal to a human life, then how in the world are you going to make improve a person or human being and make him a spiritual life? You can't do that. I mean, you can improve your manner, you can improve your behavior, you can be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, you can be honest and nice and courteous and become a real nice person, but you cannot make yourself spiritual. Just as you've got to be born as a plant, or born as an animal, or born as a human, you've got to be born again into your spiritual life. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And the whole crowd of works, I'm talking about the charismatics, I'm talking about the Arminians, the whole crowd of works crowd that says you got to live a good life to be saved, you got to do good deeds to be saved, you got to join a church to be saved, all of them are trying to do the impossible. You can improve a man all you want to. You can quit this and quit that and start good and start other things that are positive, but you can never do one thing to make yourself. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me now. I got something to tell you. Sit up straight. Hear what I got to say. And you cannot make a plant into an animal into a human, and all the improvements you can make to a human being. And that's what the liberal crowd's trying to do. They're trying to make spiritual people, but you can't make spiritual people. You've got to be born again. And Jesus said, "Don't be surprised, marvel not that I say unto thee." A potato must be born a potato. An animal must be born an animal. A human must be born a human, and a spirit life must be born such. Now then, let me take a little pivot here for the message. Let us look at man and his life. Man was made a threefold being. Man was made in the image of God. God is a threefold being. God the Father, God the Son. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man was made in the image of God, likewise a threefold man. Man was made a body. That's this amazing thing that you see standing before you tonight, for which I thank God. That's this amazing thing that you see right here, registered as a deadly weapon in the United States government. Man was made a body. Then man was also made a soul. Now the soul is that charming thing that lives inside this big body that you see before you tonight. The soul is that which enables me to talk to Brother Colston and talk to these men on the platform. It enables us to fellowship with each other. Listen to me, young people. Hey, young folks over here, I'm coming over in a few minutes and stand right by your side and preach to you. You don't sit up and listen to what I've got to say tonight. You're going to misbehave. Go on outside. Just get out. Get out. Go on outside. But I got something to tell you, and you need to hear what I've got to say tonight. So you listen to me. Now you listen carefully. Man was made a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. In the Garden of Eden, man chose to sin and obey Satan instead of God and go his own way. When man sinned, he died spiritually. Now, man is born a twofold creature rather than a threefold creature, a body and a soul. Now, that body and soul cannot live forever. It can die forever in hell, but it cannot live in heaven forever. Jesus said, "Don't fear that which can destroy just the body, but that which can destroy both the body and soul in hell." So, sometime between birth and death, a man has to get that spirit back to life. If that spirit is not back to life, then that man cannot live forever. You can improve the soul, improve the body, but you've got to have the spirit back to life. And that happens when a person realizes, one, that he's a sinner, two, that he's lost and on his way to hell, three, that Jesus Christ paid the price for his sins, and offers him eternal life, and by faith in Jesus Christ, turns and trusts him to take him to heaven. Now, the moment that takes place, that spirit, you three fellows, stand up right here, would you please? Here is a body, and here is a soul, and here is a spirit. Now, man was born that way. Now, when man sinned, the spirit died, leaving man only a twofold creature, a body and a soul. Now, sometime between life and death, that spirit has got to get back to life again. That spirit only comes back to life when you realize that you cannot save yourself, the church cannot save you, your good works cannot save you, your baptism cannot save you, your confirmation cannot save you, dedication as a child cannot save you, your sacraments cannot save you, your communion cannot save you, the last rites cannot save you. If you haven't trusted Jesus, those aren't last rites, those are last wrongs, in case you'd like to know. They can't save you. We got to get that spirit back to life. Jesus said, if you will realize that you're a sinner on your way to hell and that Jesus has paid the penalty for your sins and rely on him and nothing else to take you to heaven, that spirit comes back to life. So one day when the body dies and the soul dies, the spirit can live forever. That doesn't mean how good a body you have, how clean a body you have, how good a soul you have, how nice a soul you have. You've got to trust Christ as your Savior to get that spirit back to life. Thank you very, very much. Now then, we have introduced the sermon. Let me get down to what I want to say tonight. Okay, now man is born again. Don't leave me now. I'm going to teach you something. Man is born again. Now, God has four forms of life available to this born-again man. That's what he means when he says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, these abundant lives are four lives that God has for the Christian person. Now, it's a buffet, if you please. There are four lives here that God has given us, made available to us, and we can appropriate any or all of those four lives into ours. And until, listen to this statement, until you have appropriated all four of these lives into your life, then you will not live the abundant life. Now, the first life that God has given you is human life. That means that I have a body, and you have a body, and we interact with people, and God has let this body enjoy things. And God says, I want you not to miss the human life. That's a part of the abundant life. Secondly, there is the mental life, or shall I say, the soul life. God said, don't want you to miss that either. I want you to enjoy the things that are that of the soul's appetites, if you please. I want you to enjoy it. Now, a lot of you folks are enjoying the physical part of life, but you're not enjoying the soul or mental part of life. Now, there's a third part of this abundant life, and that is the spiritual life, if you please. The spiritual. Now, the spiritual life is that part which is not the soul, it's not the body, it's that part that can fellowship with God and commune with God. Then there is a fourth life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That fourth life is the eternal life. Now, that does not mean life in heaven. That means that God wants you to have your mind not only enjoy his physical satisfaction of your physical appetites and your mental satisfaction of your mental appetites and the satisfaction of your spiritual appetites, but God wants you also to enjoy things that are eternal. Now, what's eternal? That book is eternal. Soul winning is eternal. You win someone to Christ, they live forever. You read that book, you'll have it when you get to heaven. So God says, I've given you four areas of life. Now, I've given you physical life, I've given you soul or mental life, I've given you spiritual life, and I've given you things eternal on which you can think of, or eternal life. See, eternal life, that does not mean you're going to just live forever somewhere. It is a form of life while you are living now, and God gives you a type of life, a quality as well as duration. There are people that are saved that do not enjoy eternal life because you're not enjoying the things that are eternal. So this abundant life is a fourfold life. Listen to me. A fourfold life. A physical life, and God wants you to enjoy that. And a mental life, and God wants you to enjoy that. And a spiritual life, and God wants you to enjoy that. And eternal life, and God wants you to enjoy that. Now listen carefully. You are not supposed to get promoted from one life to the next. For example, here's a person enjoying the thing, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying the proper things of the appetites of the body. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a good meal. God intended for you to do it, I guess, after a while. Now, when you decide you're going to get into the mental, you're not supposed to leave the physical. You add the physical to the mental to the enjoyments of the physical. And then when you come into the spiritual, you're not supposed to get promoted from the physical. And a lot of folks have that idea, that if you enjoy eating, it's wrong. No, it's not wrong to satisfy any appetite that God has given us within the bounds of his word. It's not wrong. So God does not intend for us to quit enjoying the physical in order to enjoy the mental. He does not intend for us to quit enjoying the mental to enjoy the spiritual, or quit enjoying the spiritual to enjoy the eternal. God wants us to enjoy all four, and you're to add the next level. Listen now. You are not, hear me carefully, this is the sermon, you are not to live in any one of these areas exclusively. If you only live to enjoy the physical, you are perverted. If you only live to enjoy the mental or the soul, you are perverted. If you only live to enjoy the spiritual and don't enjoy the soul and the body's appetite fulfillment within the Word of God, you are perverted. See, to have the abundant life means that while you walk on God's earth and breathe God's air, you enjoy His physical provisions for you. You enjoy His mental provisions for you. You enjoy your spiritual provisions for you and the eternal provisions that God has made for you. Now, the average person is perverted. Let me give you an example or two. It is perversion to live in any one of these at the expense of the others. For example, the physical specimen who lifts aught but weights, whose main goal in the life is worship his own body, is perverted. Hey, you, second coming of Charles Atlas. You second coming of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, you body beautifuls. Now, the honest simple truth is, there are people that just live for that. I know folks just live for sports. That's all. And you're perverted. You're missing three-fourths of the abundant life. Let's take, for example, the reclusive professor whose God is his mind. Hear me carefully. Don't miss it. He is more interested in books than in people. And he's more interested in what people used to do, should do, and might do than in helping them do what they ought to do now. He is missing three-fourths of the abundant life. That professor who is a recluse, in his own little study, or own little office, own little home, and he just reads and reads and reads and reads. Good night, brother. Go out and buy you a good old strawberry shortcake and live it up and enjoy the physical part of life, too. Get out of your little hermitage and come out where people live and enjoy the mental things of life and the soul blessings and things that God has to satisfy your soul appetite. Illustration. The secluded cleric who lives only in the spiritual with no thought of its application is not enjoying the abundant life. He is missing three-fourths of the abundant life. The monastic monk who wraps himself in himself instead of serving others and hides himself in some little room somewhere so he can do what he calls praying. We purchased the Capuchin Seminary, and they had several folks in a monastery out there that lived out there all the time that were supposed to be out there just praying. However, we did find some alcoholic beverages stored out there. I think they did something other than just pray. If you don't like what I just said, then you figure out some way to lump it with sugar or cream. But I'm simply saying that the monastic monk who wraps himself in himself instead of serving, and by the way, you folks that wrap yourself in sports are just as perverted as the monastic monk that hides in the room somewhere. You folks that wrap yourself in athletics, you young people, you're not living the abundant life. All you're concerned about is the next ball game. All you're concerned about is the next party you go to. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, nobody will go to his grave having lived all of the life that God intends for him to live, unless he has enjoyed what God has provided for your physical appetites, your mental appetites, your spiritual appetites, and your eternal appetites, if you please. The theological hermit, whose Bible is his God, instead of being a verbally inspired and preserved love letter from the true and living God, is missing three-fourths of his life. The professional athlete is perverted. The bookworm is perverted. The ultra-sensuous is perverted. The other-world-only soul winner is perverted. The prayer recluse is perverted. Anyone who uses any form of life in excess to the enjoyment of the others is perverted. Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss in life the physical blessings that God has offered to you physically. And don't miss, you've got something up here in your cranium. Something is between your shoulders. In most cases, it's not for looks. Now, I'm trying to tell you, it's time some of you folks decided that there is a book to read occasionally. There are things in life besides the physical, besides fun, and live, eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow you may die. So I'm simply saying, anyone who uses any form of life in excess to the neglect of the others is perverted. Now listen carefully. Number one, God wants us to enjoy physical life. Hey, you spiritual giants. God wants us to enjoy physical life, but not exclusively. That's why he painted the rose. That's why he scented the gardenia. That's why he made the sunrise and the sunset. That's why he made nourishment taste good. That's why he made romance so enjoyable. That's why he made children so cute. That's why he made flowers so fragrant. That's why he made food so palatable. That's why he gave us colors and music and pleasant odors. You know why God gave us pleasant odors and scents? He gave us a nose to enjoy those with. And it's not wrong for you to enjoy pleasant odors. It's not wrong for you to enjoy food. Now, there is a certain amount you're supposed to eat. But it's not wrong for you to enjoy food. And by the way, you're just the opposite from him. You plus him divided by two equals a normal human being. Now, listen carefully. That's why God made the strawberry. God made the strawberry, and he made it for you to enjoy. And God said one day, I'd like for my people to enjoy the strawberry. And God made bananas and said, I think my people will enjoy the taste of these. God made the pineapple, and he said, I think my people will enjoy the taste of these. God made black-eyed peas and said, I think my southern people will enjoy these. God made turnip greens and squash, and God made pinto beans and collard greens, and God did it for our enjoyment. God made fried okra. He made quarter pounders with cheese. He made Whopper Juniors minus mayonnaise plus mustard. He made Big Macs and tamales and enchiladas and egg rolls and pizza and French fried onion rings and banana splits and chocolate sundaes and fried okra and pecan pie a la mode and Fritos and potato chips and Wendy's. But Frosties, I'm saying, you sanctimonious spiritual giants, there is a world out there that God made for you, and God intends for you to enjoy, within the boundaries of his book, every single physical appetite's fulfillment. He made the Rocky Mountains so we could enjoy, and the Royal Gorge, and the Grand Canyon, and the giant redwood, and the stately pine, and the wings of the peacock, and the frisky squirrel, and the grieving willow, and the autumn leaves, and the lazy lakes, and the busy rivers, and the timid pond, and the tired oak, and the bark of the dogwood. That's a pretty good statement. The bark of the dogwood. You get that? That's what you call eloquence, ladies and gentlemen. He made the lightning bug. And all these things, God wants you to enjoy your physical life. But he does not want you just to be secluded from the other three forms of life. Don't miss life, studious professor. Don't miss life, saintly saint. Don't miss life, reclining recluse. Don't miss life, dusty theologian. Don't miss life, bicep builder. Don't miss life, secluded spectator. Don't miss life, homie hermit. But don't give all your time to the physical life. You're looking at a guy who enjoys physical life. I enjoy eating good food. I don't get to do it anymore because of my little health problem I've had. His house sat across the other night from me and ate barbecued ribs, pork ribs. While I ate cauliflower and broccoli a la terrible. But there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying physical life. I happen to enjoy the sunrise. I happen to enjoy the sunset. I happen to enjoy the beauty of the flowers, and I happen to enjoy the fragrance of the rose and the fragrance of God's creation. I love it. I enjoy it. But God does not want me or you, and many of you are guilty here. The only form of life that you really know anything about is the physical. Fun, frolicking, frivolity, and the appetites of the flesh. You are a pervert. Did you hear what I said? Listen over here. I want that couple to hear me. Listen. You are a pervert. Now, I think you ought to enjoy physical life. And don't miss it. But there are other forms of life. And when Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it, well, listen to me, more abundantly, he's talking about all these forms of life. For example, God wants you to enjoy soul life or mental life. Don't miss meditation. Don't miss music. Don't miss books. Turn that stupid Nintendo off. And get you a book and read. This generation is wacky. And no wonder. We're crazy. We're shooting each other. You can't go to school without being afraid your child won't get home safe anymore. And one reason is we've lived for everything and left the mind out. In God's name, learn to enjoy books. Learn to enjoy good music. Don't miss poetry. Don't miss study. Don't miss education. Don't miss ideas. Don't miss love. Don't miss loyalty. Don't miss friendship. Don't miss thought. Don't miss reflection. Don't miss gratitude. Don't miss reading. Don't miss devotion. Don't miss dedication. Don't miss philosophy. Don't miss kindness. Don't miss gratitude. Don't miss hospitality. Don't miss courtesy. Don't miss joy. Don't miss patience. Don't miss humor. Don't miss clean fun. Don't miss good fellowship. Don't miss personality. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, there is a part of life that is the middle of life in this generation where you can graduate from high school without even studying, and the average public school student that comes to Howell Henderson College can hardly read and write. You know why? We're a bunch of sports crazed, food crazed, fun crazed people who are not living at all to the soul, and we are a perverted generation. Not only does God have a physical life for you to enjoy and a mental soul life for you to enjoy, but God has a spiritual life for you to enjoy. Some of you kids that sit here and don't listen in church, you're perverted. I said you're perverted. You kids that misbehave over here tonight, and I have had to call you down. The girls are talking right there right now. Shut up and listen to me. I said, you're perverted. You know how you're perverted? You don't think about anything spiritual at all. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I have an eternal book right here that you're not going to have a full life. That's okay. I don't need that. You're not going to have a full life if you decide that book is a vital part of your life. I'm not saying you ought to quit going to McDonald's. I'm saying you ought to go to McDonald's and then go read a book and then get on your knees and talk to God for a while and enjoy the life that is more abundant that God has offered to you. Don't miss those things that are spiritual. Don't miss church. Don't miss sermons. Don't miss fellowship with God's people. Don't miss prayer. Don't miss devotional life. Don't miss walking with God. Don't miss being alone with God. Don't miss the power of God. Don't miss spiritual songs. Don't miss, watch it, gorgeous goon. Watch it, muscular moron. Watch it, educated imbecile. Watch it, secluded student. Watch it, all-star athlete. Watch it, stargazing stoic. Watch it, energetic Epicurean. Watch it, reclusive researcher. Watch it, watch it, watch it. There is not only one form of life. There are four forms of life. And God came that you might live a full, rich life, enjoying all of his physical pleasures and all of his mental pleasures and all of his spiritual pleasures and all of his eternal pleasures. Hey, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't hide yourself in one little area or two little areas. Enjoy all the buffet. Not only does God have for you a physical life, a part of this abundant life he's talking about, a mental life, a part of this abundant life, a spiritual life, a part of this abundant life, but God also has an eternal life. Now what does that mean? That means those things that you'll never die. Don't spend your whole life avoiding things that will never die. For example, you go win a soul to Christ, and that soul will be saved 10 billion years from tonight. Now, I'm not saying you ought to get over here and just be a soul winner. I mean, between visits, go over here and get your quarter pounder with cheese. And a glass of carrot juice to counteract it. And, by the way, over here, while you're enjoying something eternal, hey, don't forget, there are philosophies of life and ways to enjoy life mentally. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And then there are spiritual things, but don't miss that which is eternal. For example, the Word of God is eternal. This is the, follow me carefully, this is the only book they'll have in heaven besides Blue Denim and Lace. Yeah, that's good. I'm simply saying that God wants you to enjoy the physical, mental, the spiritual, and that which is eternal. God himself is eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. Don't miss those things you can always do. Hey, don't just do things on earth that you can't do in heaven. Get in the habit of practicing for heaven a little bit. For example, when you get to heaven, you're going to praise, so praise God some on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to worship, so worship God some on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to spend the time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, so read it and study it on earth. When you get to heaven, you're going to fellowship with the saints, so enjoy fellowship with the saints right now. When you get to heaven, you're going to love. So have real Bible love right now. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm for this physical life, but in God's name, one of these days, you won't be eating quarter pounds of cheese. There's some things in this physical life you won't have. Enjoy it. It's a part of God's abundant life. Enjoy the mental. Enjoy your books, but don't hide yourself in some room, and that's all you do. Get over here and enjoy that which is spiritual, and enjoy that which is physical, and enjoy that which is mental, but don't forget to enjoy that which will never die. Here's a carnal Christian. He's sitting at home watching Oprah. Not the Metropolitan Oprah, but sometimes fat, sometimes skinny Oprah. Or he's watching a soap opera, and they need some soap on those things to clean them up. He's a Christian now, he's watching TV. It may be he's watching a bunch of goons try to kill each other on Sunday afternoon. But he's watching. All of a sudden he dies. Wakes up in heaven. He says, anybody have television? Said, I won't see how that thing turned out. But here's a Christian. He's reading his Bible. He reads about heaven, about the second coming of Jesus Christ, about the good things of God, and he jumps up on the bed and starts jumping up and down and says, well, glory to God, woo, praise the Lord, and he dies. He won't have to change a thing. He can just keep on to, hey, you carnal Christians, don't look at me like that. And the fact that you look like you look reveals the fact that you're missing something in life. I tell tonight you folks that only live for the eternal. There is a physical life God wants you to live, a mental life, and a spiritual life. And those that only live for the spiritual, There is a physical life and a mental life and an eternal life, and those that only live for the mental. There's a physical life and a spiritual life and eternal life, and those that only live for the physical, there's a mental life and a spiritual life and eternal life. And until you enjoy all four, you will have not done what Jesus offered you when he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let me confess a few things. This may surprise some of you. I'm a private person. I could become a recluse. And I could spend my life working with words. I love words. I love poetry. I love to write poetry. I love phrases. I love to make figures of speech. I could very easily find myself reclusive somewhere and give my entire life just, I'd love to write. I'd love to write like I think I could write if I had time to write and just write. I'd love it. I could become a soul winner only if I got the place where I could never pastor, but I still could work some. I'd like for somebody to hire me as a full-time soul winner. I believe I could keep his altar full every Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'd like to do that. But wait a minute. I must not do that. For if all I do is soul winning, I am missing a part, three-fourths of abundant life. If all I did was work with words and write poetry and phrases and write books and philosophies, I would enjoy that tremendously. But I would miss three-fourths of the abundant life. Let me confess. I believe I could become a theologian. You read some of my books on justice, Holy Spirit, prayer, and those are books that I've written in my spare time. I believe if I could take all of my time and do nothing but be a theologian, I believe I could become a theologian. I'd enjoy it. But I must not do that. God did not come to give me one life. He came to give me abundant life. He came to give me physical enjoyment and mental enjoyment and spiritual enjoyment, and eternal enjoyment, and I must not confine myself to any one area, because if I do, I do not have the abundant life that God has prepared for me. I could become a sports nut. I love sports. I walk down the street sometime, I can see two doodle bugs running a race on the sidewalk. And I stop and cheer for one of the doodle bugs to win. I'm competitive by nature. Years ago, somebody said to me and Jerry Falwell, who happened to be together back in those days when he was more closely associated positionally with me than he is now. And I like the guy. We're together. And some fellow said, yeah, you two guys are just trying to beat each other in church attendance, that's all. And I said, I can't speak for Jerry. I can speak for me. I dead sure am trying to beat him. Second, that's why I never rent Avis cars. They brag on being second. If you're second, don't brag about it. And you mothers that say to your boys, be good losers, would you please, in the name of Jesus, shut your trap? I'm competitive by nature. I love sports. By the way, you know what sport I could really get wrapped up in? Golf. I gave up golf in 1967 because I could play every day, twice a day. To me, a golf course is one of the most beautiful places in the whole world, especially back where I play, where there's so many beautiful trees and such gorgeous high grass and so forth. Water, yeah, yeah. You've been there, haven't you? I mean, really, I could. I could become a sports nut. So I don't allow myself. I read the scores, check and see who wins less than so, check and see how much the Cubs lost by. And But I can't play golf. I can't. I would love to, but I played golf in 1967, gave it up. I could become a nature hermit. I mean that. Ms. Hiles and I, every once in a while, talk about what we're going to do if I go first, what's she going to do? If she goes first, what am I going to do? And she says, what would you do if I passed away first? I said, what I'd probably do is get me a little cottage or cabin in the woods somewhere and just live by myself. I know one thing, I'd never get married again. If I can ever get out of the... Anyway, just want to see if you're listening, that's all. I promise you I'd never marry again. But I could become a recluse so easily. But I must not allow myself to do so. I must see to it that I enjoy every provision that God has made physically for my life. And then I must not just be a physical nut. I must enjoy every mental and soul provision that God has made for my life. But I must not confine myself to the physical and the mental. I must enjoy the spiritual part of life. Meditation, prayer, walking with God, fellowship with God, all of that. But I must not stop there. I also must enjoy the eternal things that God has given me that live forever. Eternal life. The Bible. Soul winning. God himself. Praising God. The things that I can do eternally when I get to heaven, I can do forever and will do forever. Let me ask you this, I'm through. What are you missing? What are you missing? Some of you Hiles Anderson College preacher boys, are you too pious to enjoy what God has provided for us physically? Are some of you sports nuts with emphasis on the nut? It's boring to you. Now you listen to what I'm going to say. Truth is never boring to the well-rounded person. If you go to Dr. Cowling's science class and you get bored, it's not Dr. Cowling's fault. It's your fact that you are perverted. Well, he's a bookworm. That's also wrong. But while you enjoy your physical, don't forget that God did give you a brain. In most cases, it's not much, but it's there. And there are certain things that, look, nobody doubts the fact that I enjoy life. Nobody. Ask the teenagers come to my office on Saturday morning. Ask them if I enjoy life. Of course I do. But I want to go over here and enjoy the other parts of life also. I want to enjoy the mental things that God has provided for me, the spiritual things that God has provided, and the eternal things that God has provided. And I ask you a question tonight. What is your favorite life? Which of these four is your favorite? Then you better watch it. And you better discipline yourself not to miss the other three. I'll be 73 years old, 3 months from this coming week, if I make it that long. I've lived a full life. I have lived an abundant life. And the reason I have lived an abundant life is that I have made myself enjoy, in some cases by character, by schedule. I've made myself enjoy the physical things of life. Mrs. Hiles and I have a condominium, and the living room is, the back wall of the living room is all glass. And then there are glass doors you pull, and out there there's about an 18-foot balcony and about 7 or 8 foot deep, and it's enclosed. Could be enclosed in the wintertime, open in the summertime, a beautiful balcony. And outside that balcony is nothing but beautiful scenery. And we go out there and we just sit there. We had breakfast out in the balcony this morning. And we enjoyed it. This afternoon, I can't eat some certain things. I can't eat, for example, glazed donuts. I can't eat them. This morning, Mrs. Hiles took some glazed donuts. to her Sunday school class. She bought a dozen. She had some left over. This afternoon, about 3 o'clock, we noticed one was missing. To save my life, I can't recall where it went. I went out on a porch, looked at those trees, and they said, "Watch me. Watch me." "Yeah, I will." They said, "God made me. Watch me." I looked at the beautiful lawn out there, and they said, "Watch me." I said, "Okay, I will." I heard a voice in the kitchen saying, "Eat me. Eat me. Eat me." I said, "God made you. I guess I'll have to do so. If I'm going to preach tonight on enjoying all four forms of life, I've got to enjoy the physical part of life." I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I'm not asking you to become a bookworm. I'm not asking you to become a spiritual nut. I'm not even asking you to do anything. I'm recommending to you and informing you that God has given you a beautiful buffet. A buffet of four lives. Physical, mental, spiritual, and eternal. And one of these days, you're going to finish your 70 or 70 plus 2 years and 9 months. And one of these days, you're going to look back on your life. And most of the people in this room will never have lived the life that Jesus said he wanted to give us. "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So everything that is right according to that Bible physically, you enjoy it. Everything that God has provided for you mentally, enjoy it. And everything that God has provided spiritually, enjoy it. And everything that God has provided that's eternal, enjoy that. And then you will know what the Savior meant when he said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Thank God I've lived a full life. Thank God I've lived an abundant life. All four of them. What do you need to shore up tonight? Huh? Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, I think I've taught tonight the secret to an abundant, full, rich, rewarding life. Now, Father, there are some people here tonight who are perverted because they live basically for that which is physical. There are some people perverted because they live only for that, exclusively for that which is mental. There are some who are perverted because they live only for that which is spiritual, and some even perverted because they refuse to enjoy God's physical blessings and his mental blessings and his spiritual blessings, and all they're concerned about is that which is eternal. I pray that you'd help me to be able to help our people when they come to the end of this life to say, "I have lived life, and I have lived it more abundantly." While our heads are bowed.